Tu me chegou fã.
Good morning.
Had a long chat with Birnbaum.
Any good, Moscana?
Everything is good. Everything Hashem does is good. So it must be good. But yeah, if you want to meet sometime, I think we should have a chat.
Okay, when is good?
Either in Zoom or in person.
When is the Rav available? After Shir, right after Shir?
No, I have Kodal at 9:30. Could do tonight at 11 o'clock. Is that too late for you?
Goodness.
11:30.
2:30, is 2:30 available?
2:30, I think I have a meeting then.
2:30 a.m.? I know you were about to stay up late, but good grief.
Right.
11's not good.
11 is not good. So I take it 12 is worse then.
But honestly, my wife won't even be home then. She's working in Yerushalayim, so.
11 p.m. I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll work it out. Not now. There's a shit to give.
Okay.
There's the Gemara. We're on Daf Nun Aleph on the base. We'd like to try Be'ezos Hashem Yisborach. Make a big siyum today. I hope everyone's got their wine. And the L'chaim. We're on the top line of the Gemara. U'magbiyoim in akar katefach. Remember, we're going through all the various halachas of a koishol bracha. You have to lift the cup up by a height of a tefach over the table or the floor. Why is that? Omer v'acha v'achanin ma'ikra, because it says, Kois Yeshua is eso v'shem Hashem ekra. Kois Yeshua is eso means you should raise the cup. Why should you raise the cup? So either for practical reasons that people should see it, or because of covered reasons, it gives chashivus to the kois when it's held up high. V'noisen einov boy, why is it that you must keep your eyes focused on the Koishal Bracha, ki heiche, in order, deloi nisach daite mine, in order that you should not have hesach hadas. So as we mentioned yesterday, l'choira, if you need to say Kiddush and you're supposed to be looking at the bencha, well then you can hardly be expected to be looking at the kois the whole time. So we'll have to see in the halacha, what does this exactly mean? Does it mean you have to look at the kois just in the beginning, or periodically, or the whole time? We'll have to see. But either way, there's got to be at least partial looking up the cup in order there should not be hesach hadas. U'meshagroi la'anshei beisei. And you should send the kois to your family, means to your wife. B'matana. Why? Ki heichi detisboreich devisu. Devisu means one's wife. In order that one's wife should also have the bracha. So this is a kois shel bracha. Presumably, anybody who partakes of it will also be zeicha to take part in that bracha. Mamela, one should send it to one's wife in order that she should also get a bracha. So here comes a rather scary story.
Now, apparently the Gemara did not hold from the germ theory of disease.
So actually, that's a very big kasha you're asking. In fact, your kasha is the kasha of the Pesach Hadoyer. Because the Shulchan Aruch paskens quite clearly, there is a whole bunch of halachas called Derech Eretz, and one of them is that two people should not drink from the same cup.
Right.
So Reb Shlomo Zalman Oybach asks, so how is it that people don't seem to be makbid with that when it comes to Kiddush? So what are you going to say, that family is different? Or Letzorech Mitzvah is different, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Oybach, who says? There is no indication in Halacha that exceptions are made either for family or for mitzvahs. And yet in many families, that does seem to be the general custom. The Baal HaBayis makes Kiddush and then he distributes, everybody drinks from that very cup. In some families, they don't drink from the main kois, they pour out into little cups, especially obviously when they're guests. I personally make Kiddush and everybody drinks from the same cup, except if I have guests. If I have guests and I do not drink from the main cup, rather I pour from the main kois into my own glass and then pour into everybody else's glass. But either way,
what I would do is I would pour after making the bracha. Before drinking, I would pour from the kos into a larger kos, right, and then drink, and then from that larger kos. So my mouth never touched what they drink.
Right. So it's a halachic shaila. Rav Shlomo Zalman Oibach, as far as I remember, leaves it unresolved. Okay. Now here comes some scary story. Says the Gemara, Ula Ikhla Lebei Rav Nachman. Ula came to the yeshiva of Rav Nachman, Korich Rifta, and they had bread, Borich Birkas Mezayna. They made the Birkas Hamozayin. Yoiv Le Kaseh the Birkas Lerav Nachman. They gave the Koshal Bracha to Rav Nachman. Omale Rav Nachman, Lishadir Mar, Kisei de Birkasa Liyalta. Please send the Koshal Bracha Liyalta. Who's Yalta?
His wife.
Omale, so they said, Hochi Oma Rabbi Yochanan. Ein pri bitno shel isha misborech elo mi pri bitno shel ish. Pri bitno is literally the fruit of the womb, which means, I assume, means the children. The children of the isha will not have a bracha unless it comes from the husband. Shenema uborech pri bitno cho. Pri bitno in the feminine loinemar, it does not say elo pri bitno cho. Tani Nami Hochi, same in the Brisa, Rav Nosson Oima Minayin Sheim Pri Bitno Shal Isha Misborech Elami Pri Bitno Shal Ish. The brocha of the children of the wife all comes via the husband, Shenema, Uberach Pri Bitnecho Pri Bitno, Loi Nema Elo Pri Bitnecho. Okay, so either way, the brocha, whatever this means, I'm not sure what this means, comes to the wife via the husband, and therefore he was requesting he should send the Koshla brocha to his wife, Yalta. Now, Adahochi, in the meanwhile, Shoma Yalta, Yalta heard. Now, what exactly did she hear? So I think. If I'm saying correctly, maybe the English translators over here will help me out. When they brought this drosha, that the pre-beten of the woman is blessed through the man, if I'm saying correctly, what they were really telling them was there's no need to send the wine to the wife.
Right. It says here, meanwhile, as Ula said this to Rav Nachman, Yalta heard that she would not be sent the kos shel bracha.
Right, this is what Rashi says. Look at Rashi, top line. Shomo Yalta, Shaloi Yeshager Lo Koshal Brocha. Yalta understood that they were not sending a Koshal Brocha because you've just said that the Brocha to the wife comes via the husband. So they were indicating that they were not now going to send her the Koshal Brocha. And she was not best pleased. To put it all. Komo, on the first wide line, Komo Beziaro. Rashi says, Omdo Bekaas. So she stood up in anger upon the realization that she was not going to get the Koshal Bracha. Va also Lebei Chamra. And she went up to the room where they kept the wine, I think, the wine cellar or the wine room. The Tavra, and she broke Dalad Meo 400 Dani de Chamra. I think it means what? Barrels?
That's how they translate it. Yes, barrels.
400 barrels of wine she broke.
That had to take a while.
Yes, she was not so happy. Omalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman saw what happened, but his wife was rather displeased. So he said, Rav Nachman says, Neshadir Lomar Kasa Achrina. Do me a favor, he said, please send her a different case. Otherwise, we'll see the next 400 go. Please send her another case. Sholach lo, so they sent her Kol Hai Navga de Birkasahi, says Rashi, third wide line. Kol Hai Navga de Birkasahi, Kol Yain Shebachovis Koishal Bracha Hushasi Mimenu. In other words, what does it help now to send another cup of wine? The original cup of wine has already been drunk. If you're going to fill up a cup and send that to his wife, that's not the koshel bracha. Koshel bracha has already been consumed. So the message that was being sent was that no, all the wine in the chovis, in the barrel, which presumably was the source of the wine they drank in the first place, is kakoshel bracha. It all gets the status of a kakoshel bracha. So this, I guess, was sent as a message of appeasement to his wife. Here's your kakoshel bracha, and it really does have a status of a kakoshel bracha, but how did she respond? Shol cholei, so she sent back a message. Mi mahaduri mili, Umi masmartute kalmi. So how do they translate that in the English? We'll see Rashi in a moment.
Itinerant peddlers.
Sorry?
Come words from itinerant peddlers. Come words.
Come idle words.
Come idle words, yeah. And from old rags come lice.
Which I think means she was not pleased.
The notes here say, i.e., your words are as meaningless as a peddler's tales.
Right. You're trying to calm me down by sending the Koshel Bracha and claiming that the rest of the barrel also has the same status. Look at Rashi. Mimahaduri mili, mimachzire ba'arios, ba'arios, people who go from town to town peddling their wares. Yirbu tomid dvarim, you just get a lot of things, but not much of substance. Umemasmartuti kamim mishcheke begodim, from old worn out clothes, beluyim, which are old, umemuratim, all used and worn out, yirbu kinim, all you get is lice. So she was not happy, I think, is the conclusion of the story. So it seemed to be, we'll have to see in the halacha. I'll tell you when this is very negeya. This is negeya, and we'll have to see if the halacha talks about this, that sometimes a person will make kiddush, and then before he sends it on to his wife, he'll top up the cup. Especially, let's say there's a large household or many people around the table, so it won't be enough wine to go around. The balabayas has just been makbid to drink roiv kois, so most of it has already gone. So he'll open the bottle and pour into the cup. So the question would become, is that now considered a koshel bracha? Certainly that is true. Some of the wine that was in the original koshel bracha is indeed still there, but it may well be that you've actually got roiv wine from the bottle and only a miut that was in the original koshel bracha. So does that satisfy the halachas, or are you going to see your wife smash 400 bottles of wine? Not poshut. So let's keep on going. Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to get to the end of the Gemara. I'd like to see some toisism, and then we're going to learn the halacha together. We're going to try and do all of that today and make a big siyum. How about a big siyum today, Mishkafayim? How does that sound for you, Rav Nachum? Big barbecue?
Absolutely.
After the meeting, 1 o'clock in the morning?
Sure.
Rabbi Yael David would fancy a hot kebab at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I really would, yes. I would feel skewered.
Says the Gemara, Omar Abasi. Rimachem, you're allowed to be off mute. Well, you still got drilling in your place? What have you got going on there?
There's drilling, and my wife is here also. Right now she's quiet, but it could get loud at any second.
Which one is noisier?
They don't want to hear her.
No comment.
Hear her breaking the barrels.
Yeah.
Sounds like he knows the drill.
Well, there looks like quite a few pots in the background, so this could be dangerous, gruesome stuff. You better go and hide your screen. Didn't somebody once say? Somebody once said that I didn't speak to my wife for 3 days. Really? Why not? I didn't want to interrupt.
Actually, is there possibly another consideration? If a person passes the cup down after he's drunk from it, what you're doing is providing everyone from a kos pogum?
No, so that's a lot like it. Kos pogum is not a problem to drink from a kos pogum. It's only a problem to make kiddush over a kos pogum.
Uh-huh.
Here, kiddush already been made. Omer of Asi. Ein masichin al kois shel bracha. Do not talk, says Rashi, from when? Ein masichin mi she'ochzu ad shivarech. From the moment you've grabbed hold of the cup, from the moment you take hold of the cup, all the way up to when you begin making your bracha, you should not talk. Why not? We'll see in a moment in Tosfos. The Omer of Asi ein mevorchin al kois shel peronius. You know what? Leave that for a second. Let's go immediately to the top Tosfos. Tosfos talks about this halacha of not talking whilst you're holding the kosher bracha. Pirish Rashi, shelo yasiach hamavorech. The mavorech should not talk. Mishe nos nuloi kosher bracha. From the moment that the kosher bracha was placed in his hands. Vahu hadin, says Tosfos, hamasubin. So too those present round the table. Same halacha applies. She'ein rashoin lahasiach. They are not permitted to talk the bo'inon because we require she'yischaven shoimea umashmia. Both the listeners, that's those around the table, and the mashmia, those who is talking, the guy who's talking, that means the person who's actually making kiddush, for example, has to have proper kavana. And if they start talking, then we're in a problem. Now, it needs a little bit of explanation, this Tosfos, because what exactly is the issue? If the person holding the kosher bracha talks, so I understand that the mesubin should not talk because maybe they'll carry on talking even whilst he's making his kiddush. But the person who's actually making the kiddush himself, what is the problem if he talks? I mean, obviously, he's going to stop before he begins making kiddush. Unless it means that we're not worried he's going to talk. Obviously, he can't say two things at the same time. But if he's chatting whilst holding the kois, then maybe his mind will wander. I.e., it's not enough just to say the words. In order to be moitzi everybody there, he's got to have kavana to be yetzer the mitzvah. So if you take the kois into your hand and then you start busy schmoozing, it might well be that when you launch into your kiddush, you're still thinking about the conversation you just had 1 second ago, so you don't have kavana. V'gam, says Tosfos, ein lahafsik hashoymim besichas cholin. They are also not permitted to talk idle talk. Now, Va'afalpi, even though this is a Gemara we've quoted on earlier occasions. Afalpi she omar hasam in Perek Rosh Hashanah, in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. Shama teisha tekiyos b'teisha shoyz b'yoyim yotzo. Min ha-teiro, on Rosh Hashanah, you only actually have to listen to 9 tekiyos, 9 kolos of the shofar altogether. Of course, we do many more than that because we don't know what the shvarim is, and we have to do shvarim and truah and both, etc., etc. But mi'ikra adin, the Torah requires you simply to blow 9 kolos. The Gemara famously says there is no requirement essentially to blow those 9 kolos in quick succession. In fact, you can do so over the course of 9 hours. That's the famous halacha of teisha kolos b'teisha shois. Now, if you do that, presumably it doesn't mean he's going to be silent all 9 hours. So he's going to blow a tekiah at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then a shvarim at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then a tekiah at 10 o'clock in the morning, etc., etc., etc. So what does he do in between? He's on a tanis dibur, he's not talking the whole day? Says Tosfos, mashma shehashomea soch bentayim. Surely the implication is that the one who is listening did talk in between. It doesn't say anywhere that you have to keep silent for 9 hours. Va'afilu achi yotzo, and nonetheless you are yotze. Therefore, what is the problem if the listeners to the kiddush, what is the problem if they talk? As long as they hear all the words. Just like if you talk, but you hear all the teisha kolos of the shofar, you're okay. Says Tosfos, that's true. You are yotze b'di'eved, ach lechatchila ein lasvis kein. It's not lechatchila. So technically speaking, yes, if they did talk, but they managed successfully to hear all the words, for argument's sake, they talked only in between words. Imagine somebody is saying Kiddush very slowly, and between each word he pauses, and during each word, between each word, you have a quick chat. So then technically you would be yotze the mitzvah. Why? Because you did hear all the words, but lechatchila, that is not to be done. Umihu nire dehainu dafka b'sho'o shehamavorech shoyseik ma'at. That's only when the mavorech is silent a little bit, bein brocha lebrocha. Aval b'sho'o shehu mavorech im hoyo medaber afilu b'dieved lo yotzo. So everything we're talking about talking is only if you spoke in between whilst the Mavarich had a brief pause. But if whilst the Mavarich was making the bracha you spoke, you're not even Yotze B'dieved. One has to be very, very careful with this halacha. It's a complicated shaila because if a person did accidentally talk, the question always becomes, how much of Kiddush is Le'ikuva? Right, sometimes the Balabais has got a big table there, there's 25 guests, and you can't keep them quiet. So what do? You launch into Kiddush very loud, and that's a great way to silence the crowd. But here comes the question. It's all very nice, you've silenced the crowd, but everybody missed the first word of Kiddush. So which words of Kiddush are le'ikuva? That's a discussion. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Let's try and finish off now. Says the Gemara, the Omer Abasi ein mevorchin al kois shel puronus. Now this is a strange halacha. Do not make a bracha on the cup of punishment. What is the cup of punishment? My kois shel puronus. What does that mean? The cup of puronius. Omer of Nachman by Yitzchok, kois sheni. Now, this is a bit hooky spooky. What does it mean, kois sheni? So you look at Rashi, kois sheni, shehu shel zugais, pairs. There is something spooky about doing things in pairs. The ha'oymed or oymed al shulchanoi, the shtei zugois nizoik al yedei shadin. I don't know exactly what this means. Demons will come if things are done in pairs, meaning if you have two koisei shel bracha in front of you, then that's scary stuff. Do not make a bracha over two koisei. I know when it comes to shel brachas, they do have two koisei, one for benching, one for shel brachas. I'm not sure how that fits in with over here.
Actually, aren't there three? Because they pour off some for the kasa and some for the kala, right?
Yeah, they're a separate cup, but there's only two with wine. Then they have a third cup, I'm not sure. Tanya Nami Achi, so to we have
that, does that mean like, let's say you're making Kiddush just with one other person and they have a cup in front of them and you have a cup and you're making Kiddush? Like, what's a scenario of having two kosher brachas?
I don't know, to be honest. I'm not an expert in demons or evil spirits. I don't know. We'll have to see it. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch. I can't see if the Shulchan Aruch discusses this at all. I don't know. Does the English version expound on this at all?
Because I've seen in some people's houses, they'll have a cup and then they have a second cup and then that's what they give to the kids.
Right. As mentioned before. Yeah.
It says here in the notes, demons are empowered to harm someone who eats or drinks in pairs. That is two or four cups of wine. Thus, one should not recite Birkas HaMazon over the second cup of the meal, for when he leaves the table, he will have drunk two cups.
Okay. Tanya Nami Achi says the Gemara, we have learned a similar thing in the Braisa, Hashesa Kefolim. Again, Kefolim or Keflaim is also double. Lo Yevorech Mishum Shenema Hikoin Likras Elekecha Yisrael. Vahai loy mitkan. Hikoin likras elichach ritzol means prepare yourself well to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Rashi says, bedvorim noim veloy bedivrei peronis. Again, I can't claim to really have much of an understanding in this, but now we come to the last line of the Gemara. Omer Rabavo said Rabavo v'omri laba masnisa tana ha'oichel umahalich. What happens if somebody finds himself in a situation where he has to eat as he is walking? Then at least mevarech, at least he should make a bracha whilst standing. You know, he should not make a bracha whilst he is walking. It's bad enough that he has to eat whilst he's walking, but at least a bracha, he should be standing, which is an improvement from walking. Okeshehu oichel me'umud. If he has to eat standing up, then mevarech miyushev, then at least he should upgrade the bracha by making the bracha in a more dignified manner, which is by sitting down. Ukashahu mesev v'oichel. And when he is reclining, like they used to do on a bed, that's how he used to eat, then Yoishev umavorech. Then he should sit and make a bracha. So what's the difference between mavorech miyushev and v'oichel v'yoishev? I'm not sure. Is there a difference? I'm not sure. Says the Gemara. Yeah.
Quotes here that it is haughty to recite Birkas HaMazon while reclining.
So he should sit up, or I see what you mean, right? He should sit up and not bench whilst he's still reclining on the couch. Rather, he should sit up. But the hilchasa, even though that's what Rabbi Vohu initially said, but the halacha says, bekulhu yoshev umavarech. You should always be benching, sitting down. I did actually have a fascinating, sad child actually last week. Somebody called up, he has to have an eye surgery. And the eye surgery requires that after the surgery, he has to be flat out on his back for 3 days in a row.
Wow.
He's allowed to take minimal breaks, just go to the bathroom, but that's absolutely it. There's all types of questions with regard to davening, and Shema, and Tefillin, and Shmoneh Esrei, as you can imagine. Look at the last Tosfos. Ve'hilchasa b'kulu yoishev u'mevarech. The halacha is that in all cases, he should really say the bracha whilst he is b'yeshiva, says Tosfos. Lefi shebirkas hamozein do'iraisa hichmiru bo. Because birkas hamozein is a chiv do'iraisa, that's why they were more machmir liyois yoishev umavarech, that he should be sitting as he says the bracha. Shaharei, because you see, asoro devarim nemru boi. You see that there were 10 halachas that were said with regard to the koshel bracha of birkas hamozein, ma she'en kein b'shaar brachas. When it comes to other brachas, we don't find so many halachas. So what does that indicate? That birkas hamozein we always treat much more chomor. V'hu noitrikoin. So Tosfos is a very, very sweet Rosh HaTevis. Noitrikoin means it's the Rosh HaTevis. I think that means it's an acronym. V'ochalta v'savata, the Torah says. Do you know how you can read the word v'savata? Split the word v'savata in two and you'll get shev, that's shin base, and then ayin tof, which means ace at the time. Shev ace uberachta. Sit at the time that you're benching. Beautiful remez. The Savata Uberachta can read as Shev, sit, Ace Uberachta, at the time you're sitting, the Birkas HaMozein. That's what he heard. Mepi Rebbe Moshe Albert. And that, my friends, is that. Hadron Olach Shloisha She'ochlu. A beautiful, beautiful parak. Now, we're going to hold it over here, but I would like tomorrow to have a look at some of these halachas in the Shulchan Aruch. So if anybody wants to look them up in advance, you can do in the Shulchan Aruch. You will find most of these halachas in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, in Kuf Pei Gimel 183. So Be'ezos Hashem Yisborach, we will begin tomorrow's shir with that. And then I'd like to make immediate start to the next parak. I'm aiming, I don't know if this is going to work out, I'd like to try and finish the eighth parak of brachas by the end of Zman. If we have time at the end of Zman, then we'll go back and do a bit of chazara. And then all being well, the plan is for next Zman to begin a brand new Masechta. Now, we have done most of this Masechta. So on the one hand, it is a bit of a shame not to finish it in its entirety. The problem is that the prokim that we're missing out are mostly just agoda. There's not much halacha or deep sugyas, but if anybody wants to do on their spare time, that'll be a wonderful thing. Maybe Rav Moshe Zelig, we should think about maybe publicizing the shiur more if anybody wants to join us for next month. But either way, the plan is tomorrow we'll start with Shulchan Aruch, and then Mitzvah Hashem we'll start with the new parak as well.
Okay,
be well. Have a great day, everybody. Be well.
Good day. Shkoach. Kol tov.